Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, joined by Gordon Chang, our duty expert here at Secure Freedom Radio on matters involving Asia. And there are a lot of matters involving Asia these days, of course. He is a very, very active contributor to the public policy debate with columns at Forbes.com, The Daily Beast, World Affairs Journal. Also, his regular appearances at Fox News and elsewhere are very, very important and very helpful to all of us trying to make sense of a rapidly developing situation, as are his two best-selling books, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. Gordon Chang, it's good to have you back in the house, virtually at least. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And thank you so much, Frank.
Good. Well, listen, there is talk now out of Pyongyang that they consider what President Trump has said to have put us at a state of war with the North. What do you make of that? I think you have yourself suggested in one of your writings recently that it's increasingly likely we will find ourselves in actual combat with these guys. Tell us what you think is coming.
First of all, as we heard yesterday, Ri Yong-ho, the North Korean foreign minister, said that President Trump declared war on North Korea. That's impossible. And I'm not talking about the War Powers Act. North Korea invaded South Korea in June of 1950. That's where the war started. There was an armistice in 1953, but that didn't end the war. It just was an agreement not to use force. And the North Koreans themselves have abrogated the armistice at least three times last decade, 2003, 2006, 2009. So this is just North Korean rhetoric. What they're upset about is some of President Trump's tweets, and what they're looking at is really his disparagement of Kim Jong-un, and they declare that to be an act of war. Now, of course, that's absurd, but that's the way the North Koreans think.
There is not so veiled a threat that they will be trying to shoot down our aircraft, which were recently operating quite far north, I guess, in international airspace, to be sure, but nonetheless in their neighborhood. We're hearing the South Koreans protesting and urging the president tone down his rhetoric, much in evidence at his speech at the United Nations last week, Gordon. Where do you come down on that?
Well, President Trump was absolutely right to say that the United States would totally destroy North Korea, because he prefaced that on the assumption that North Korea first attacked either the United States or one of our allies. And what President Trump was really doing was restating an American deterrence policy, which is decades old. What the South Koreans are upset about as well, I think, is this trading of insults and these assessments of each other as being mentally unstable. So you have Kim Jong-un with his unprecedented statement, I think it was Friday, and then a series of President Trump's tweets. This is not helping the situation at this particular time. And the reason is Trump has done some really important things on North Korea, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about the trading of insults. So I would say fewer insults, no insults, actually, but more action on the part of the Trump administration.
Well, let's talk about one of the most important of those recent actions, I think. Gordon, you have been calling for intensified financial sanctions on countries and companies doing business with North Korea. Sounds as though President Trump did exactly what you've been prescribing last week. Is that right? And if so, are we starting to see some actual effect, most especially with respect to communist China?
President Trump's executive order on Thursday was a major step forward, because if this is implemented and enforced by the Treasury Department, it will cut off the flow of funds to North Korea, which means that Kim Jong-un won't have money for nukes, missiles, and gift politics. This is the buying off of senior regime elements with Mercedes-Benzes and other luxury items. So this is critically important, and I believe that this is actually a way to peacefully disarm the North Koreans, because it pressures not only North Korea, but also China. Because we have, as we've talked about, the Chinese banks money laundering for the North Koreans, handling North Korean financial transactions. China is taking some steps to get their banks out of the North Korean business. President Trump thanked Xi Jinping, his Chinese counterpart, on Thursday for doing that. Unfortunately, on Friday, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman said, well, hold on, President Trump's description of what Xi Jinping ordered was not accurate. And so, therefore, there's going to be, I think, some more conversations that we have to have with Beijing. But nonetheless, this is important, and we need to be talking about this. We need to start a conversation around the world about cutting off the flow of money into the coffers of North Korea.
Yeah. Gordon, are you suggesting that the Chinese may be doing some of the cutting off that is required here, but not all of it, that in fact there's still covert transactions, certainly, I guess, of a military kind, at the very least, if not of a financial kind? We had Rick Fisher on last week, one of our country's experts, as you know, on the Chinese military program, and he was making a very powerful case that the Chinese have been, in fact, not just propping up the regime in general, but actually enabling the threats that it poses to us with transporter erector launchers and missile technology and the like. Is that being cut off now as well, Gordon? And if so, are we really seeing the Chinese finally stepping up as they've been asked to do for so long?
Yeah, we don't know exactly what's happened. I mean, this is a really new development. And of course, everyone hopes that the Chinese would end not only their banking relationships, not only commercial relationships, but also their provision of military equipment and technology. It's unlikely that the Chinese will do that in the absence of severe American pressure, because China has been playing this proliferation game since at least 1974, and probably earlier than that. So it's unlikely that they have changed decades of foreign policy in the last couple of days. But this really means that it is incumbent on the United States to put the pressure on China, because China won't change on its own. It'll only change when it has no choice. We have the ability to do that. President Trump can do this. The question is whether he will do this. I hope that he will. I think he will.
Well, he certainly has been doing some of it, that's for sure. And Gordon, one of the other points that Rick Fisher has made is that when you go back to 1974, you're talking about not just proliferation to North Korea, but you're talking about proliferation to Pakistan as well. And more recently, it would seem, Chinese proliferation to Iran. Some have called these nations and their relationship to China as sort of sock puppets for the Chinese. I'm wondering if you believe that's an apt way of depicting the very dominant influence that the Chinese have with these rogue regimes, really, and whether it might not be possible, if we can get their attention, as the president seems to have done with these sanctions, to do rather more on some of these other countries that they have such influence with as well.
I don't think that Iran or North Korea would be threats to the international community were it not for Chinese technology and support. It's well known that China proliferated nuclear weapons technology to Pakistan starting in the early 1970s. They did this, of course, to keep India off balance. And then Pakistan, and I'm sure that the Pakistanis had China's assent to this, they then sold this technology to North Korea, to Iran, to Libya, and some other places as well, probably Iraq. So what China did was use Pakistan to be its merchandising arm.
Thank you, Khan. Nukes are us.
Yes, and Khan could not have sold China's most sensitive technology without Beijing knowing about this. And we have a strong hint of this, because when the United States confronted AQ Khan, the Chinese were very, very vigorous in making sure that the investigation was short-lived and the results were covered up, and that this whole thing was meant to go away. And the United States actually was complicit in that. We agreed. I guess it was some sense that, you know, China would get out of the business of doing this. But we know from Rick Fisher and from others that the Chinese have continued to proliferate items relevant to nuclear weapons programs. As well, of course, North Korea's ballistic missile program seems to be a Chinese creation.
Gordon, this is all too familiar a pattern and story. Nobody's, I think, been more assiduous in documenting it and causing all of us to have to reflect on it than you. And we're grateful to you for taking the time to do so each week with us, as well as your great work at The Daily Beast, Forbes.com, WorldAffairsJournal.com, Fox News, and elsewhere. Come back to us again next week, if you would. Next up, we will talk with Kevin Freeman. We'll take stock with him on what's happening in Puerto Rico and the EMP Commission and more. Straight ahead.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.